Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What do you think of the idea of expanding the NFL schedule to 17 or 18 games?
I hate it, and don't expand it. The bottom line is this. Shorten the preseason and keep it at 16 games. NFL players don't like playing in preseason games. Newsflash for everybody out there. You need two to get ready, for the young guys mostly. These veterans understand how to take care of their body. Unless you have a new coach with a new game plan, you may want to see veteran guys in that system, but you don't need all of those games. And then expanding to 18 for what? The product is already good. So I know everybody's in the business of making money. We think that we want to add this time for the product to be more to gain more financially, but don't do it at the expense of the players.
All right, that's Market Spears. It's, by the way, it's got absolutely nothing to do with the players and the players' safety. Now, they might tell you that, but that's a bunch of bull. So here's how it works. Most teams go out there and sell you a package for 10 games, 8 regular season games and 2 preseason games. The problem is people don't want to pay for the preseason games. Okay, teams have changed now, and they
season tickets too.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they charge different prices for different games now to try to make up for that. So it's all about business, and it's all about if they have 18 regular season games, games that actually count, people will have no problem forking out the money per game for those games, okay? If it's a preseason game or billed as a preseason game, especially the way preseason is played now where you got 90-man rosters and who the hell knows who's playing, people don't care about that. This is all about business. What's the problem?
What, the problem with them making more money with more games?
Playing 18 games. What's the problem?
You don't think that the product eventually would get watered down and it would just look like the AAF based on the suggestion, or I guess the proposal? So the NFL owners proposed having an 18-game schedule with a 16-game limit for all players.
That's stupid.
Meaning that backup quarterbacks would be forced to play at least 2 games, and superstar quarterbacks like Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady would be forced to sit out at least 2 games per season. And that's just, you also have your superstar tackle, your nose guard, your tight end, your linebacker, your safety. Well, see, 18 game season, but you could only play 16.
See, that's the problem. It's not like you can just bench your starters for 2 games. So it's going to affect like 5, 6, 7, 8 games. Right? So like 1 game you play Tom Brady, you're going to start your offensive line. So then when you go to play Tom Brady in the other games, What 2 games does your right tackle sit?
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Your left
tackle
sit. What 2 games does your wide receiver sit? Do they, those 2 games when Brady sits, so that your backup quarterback doesn't have Julian Edelman?
It's never going to happen.
But it's going to affect about 6 to 8 games, because you're going to have to rest everybody, you know, 2 or 3 at a time.
I don't believe that's going to happen.
It'll never happen.
Lou, I think the problem is that they want to prevent the players from coming in asking for more money to play 18 games. So what they're saying is, no, you're still going to play the same number of games. We're just going to add 2 more games onto the schedule, which eventually the players will work something out with the league when they get into this next collective bargaining agreement, and we'll have 18 games and everybody's going to play for 18 games. That's just leverage. That's playing a little game with them.
Yeah,
that's
CBA
all that is about.
Wanna
there is
it.
No way
nope.
A team is going to go in there and say we're going to play 2 games with our backup quarterback. It ain't happening.
And I would say so, and I agree with you. It's just say let's ask for this, let's demand it, knowing that we could really care less about it, and act like we gave them something, and then end up getting what they really wanted. And I would say if you really are focused on making more money, it's an easy fix. Keep the games at 16, because the biggest issue I have with the NBA, NHL, especially baseball, is there's just too many games and the season's too long, and there's too many weeks where you're like, this game isn't worth anything and it's irrelevant, and you end up just tuning out even if you like the sport.
Yeah, but they play 20 games right now. So the deal would be, and
they don't play 20 games.
They play 20 games.
No, they play 16.
17 and a half.
They play 20 games.
Don't say, you're counting the preseason as an actual
game.
That's
the issue here. They can't make money on the preseason. There are people.
I would say. Do you think? I would say that the NFL actually.
Hold on. They're sold out in every game in this town.
Okay, but they still not sold out.
That becomes a problem.
Okay, the place isn't sold out for preseason games. They may sell all the tickets, but its place is never sold out.
Right.
Whatever. But don't out of all the sports, don't you think the NFL actually does it right as far as the amount of games?
They give you one a week.
And they don't. They're not forcing it down your throat. Thursday night football, too much. Okay, fine, whatever. It's still football. It's a short window.
No, it's
the shortest season of all the major sports.
Your team only plays once a week. So when you watch them on Sunday, you just know that you got 6 days to do whatever the hell you want before your team plays again. That's the reason why it works.
If you're looking at generating more revenue, here's what I would do. I would keep it the way it is, but somehow add to the whole flex system. The whole, no matter what happens.
You mean playoff games?
No, not playoff games. I'm talking about the Sunday night where you're allowed to flex games. You're allowed to,
So how do you make more money doing that?
Well, it's prime time. You will automatically every week, and college does it a lot. Or CBS does a lot.
Charge more for the TV contract.
Charge more because you're guaranteeing NBC, you're guaranteeing CBS. You're not going to get some crap Jacksonville versus Arizona. You're always going to get the number one or the number two matchup. No matter what, we're going to make it happen. Right? Based on the entire NFL, don't give me Fox has the NFC and CBS has the AFC. It doesn't matter. Right? You guys get lined up. Whoever, if you have, if the NFC, if the best game is, Washington and Dallas, because they're 1-2, they're both undefeated. Okay, well, that was scheduled for a 1 o'clock Sunday game. No, it's now a Sunday night game. It's now a Monday night game. You can automatically charge them more because you can guarantee your broadcast partners the number one matchup no matter what.
Except it doesn't bring it anywhere close to the revenue when I can add 64 games onto the docket. That is a lot of games. That is revenue.
I know, but that's not going to happen.
That's TV revenue.
I don't think it is.
We're going to 18 games.
Not the way this proposal is set up. That's just stupid.
What do you mean? The 16 they're going to play? No. You're going to have 18 games in this next collective bargaining
agreement. You play in 18. You sit who you want to sit, one you want to sit. Then you're going to end up being the NBA.
No, you can't do that.
Hold on.
I want to hear Tony Kornheiser, because he actually liked this idea.
Hey, I love the idea because the first thing they do by saying you can only play 16 is they blunt any notion that they're not concerned with safety. Whether they are or not, they blunt that notion. They probably get rid of dopey exhibition games in which good players get hurt for absolutely no reason. Mm-hmm. And they put strategy back in football, because now if you're a coach, which two games do I sit Tom Brady? Which two games do I sit Khalil Mack? Which two games do I sit Saquon Barkley? And you're going to have to let teams know, because betting is a factor here. You can't say, oh, I'll let you know, it's a game time. No, they're not going to let it be a game time decision. I think this brings tremendous interest and excitement to the NFL, and also takes the critics out of play.
See, that's just stupid, because I know the healthy stuff. Okay, whatever, that's fine.
That's what they're using it
but
for.
But he's talking about like Tom Brady. And again, I mean, you're going to have to sit two guys every single game. Three guys every single game.
Yeah, but I don't believe it's ever going to happen, Lou.
But I'm just saying, so you're going to have Tom Brady play without a starting left guard and a starting wide receiver, you know, or the center. You know, I mean, you can't just, when Brady doesn't play, you can't just sit everybody.
Right.
So you're going to affect every single
game
will be
betting.
Affected.
He's ready right about
and
the betting aspect.
And the whole product will suck.
You know what it'll look like? It'll look like the AAF. Will you have a bunch of dudes that you've never heard, because your roster will get bigger, because you will have to have more depth. You will have to have more bodies. So those guys are going to be elevated.
So
they're going to get promoted. They will play. You will never hear from them. You won't know their names. It'll look like the AAF, or it'll look like the fourth preseason of the new year.
Okay, so I would say forget about Forget about the second part of it. They're going to play 16 games. It is never happening. What they're doing is they're using this to explain that we care about the safety of the players. This is a bunch of BS. They're going to end up with 18 games. They're going to end up with larger rosters, probably another two players on each roster. And they're going to come to, with this next collective bargaining agreement, with some trade-offs and give-offs, they're going to come up with an 18-game schedule and a two-game preseason schedule. And teams are going to practice during the course of the the week a lot more with each other than
see,
they
that,
do.
That's fine.
That's
you want to do it, fine.
I
see,
would
to
bet
me,
anything. That's
you,
what they end up
you
with.
You know, the reason NFL is the king is because you're not dealing with all these stupid rules like the double switch and the, you know, this and the that and, you know, home ice advantage and who gets the first change and all that other stuff.
Right,
it just keep it simple,
wham.
Stupid. I just honestly.
We double
so
switch
listen,
seemingly
we
all night long.
Don't act like you care about our well-being. Don't act like you care whether or not they get these guys get CT or get banged up.
That's a bunch of
call
bullets.
It 18.
But that's what they're doing.
Hey, listen, just play 18. And then
care.
Let the coaches manipulate and manage their schedule
they're
and their
play
roster.
18.
That's it.
But
I agree with the whole preseason. You don't need it anymore.
No.
You know, two games is enough. But here's the thing. The season will just start earlier. Because these guys will show up in the middle of sometime in July instead of August. So we're talking like this week because you won't get the extra. So you'll have to have practices against other teams. You'll still have to find a way to implement your offense.
Yeah, but,
how are you going to do it?
But, Christian, they have wanted for years to move the season two games further at the end. They want to have Super Bowl weekend be that President's Day weekend where people have Monday off.
So
they
you
want
start
that.
The same, but they used
right.
to battle that with Labor Day also.
They've been trying that.
They could do
they
it. As
want
far as preseason goes, if you had two preseason games and those weeks you had those controlled scrimmages, you would get just as much out of it, right? Those controlled scrimmages are great for this team.
Yeah.
They love it. Right, I mean, you could, you know, you play two games on a Friday night. Only two preseason games. You could have that Tuesday, Wednesday scrimmages. Brady plays in those games, doesn't play on the weekend, then he's fine. Maybe he plays half of one of them, and he'll get just as much work in. Like, so they can do away with that. You're right, Glenn. They're going to end up having 18 games. But this whole thing of only playing 16
not gonna happen.
Is not even thought
see,
out.
If, like, no, they, so, you know, we have this.
It's
you
never, thought,
you
no,
could
wait
never
a minute.
Do that.
It's thought out, Lou. It's a way of placating the players and say, hey, we care about your safety, so we're
no,
only going to have you
that's
play
the
in
only
16.
Way, but no, but when you start saying, okay, now help me through it. So there's 16 games. Devin McCourty can only play 14 or 16. He'll miss two instead of the 18. He'll miss two. But he'll only play, you know, 14 with Patrick Chung because he's got to sit two. Right, they're not going to sit in the same week. Maybe he doesn't play a couple games with Stephon Gilmore back there as well. So in actuality, you might only play four or five games with your real secondary because you got to sit these guys.
It's
in
not,
a rotation.
I just think
it's stupid.
They're playing with the Players Association right now by saying you only have to play 16 games. Couple of reasons. One, we don't want to have to pay you an awful lot of more additional money.
Well, they'll still pay him.
Okay, and second of all, We want you to understand that this will not be taxing on your body, but we want 64 more games. We want the revenue from national media. We want the gate. We want those games. Now, you sit here and say, here in New England, it's easy because if you buy a season ticket, you have to buy all 10 of the games. And you know what happens on those two preseason games. You know, they give them away to the mailman and whatever. You know, nobody. You don't see the regular people there.
See the mailman there.
You see the most a lot of mailmen. You see a lot of those guys. But they don't really go. But then in other markets where it's a little tougher to sell tickets, they don't sell these preseason
games. See, I just feel
games.
Like I get it's the greed factor is on a whole nother level, and I get why they're trying to just, you know,
it's all about
cash
greed.
In. It's just so greedy. They're so greedy. But I would say just beware. You actually have it right. You created a demand. A big demand.
It's
few and far between. And once it's over, you have to wait.
It's all about
you only have eight home games. And that's if they don't give one of your games to London.
Yeah.
And then you only have seven.
Yeah, no, they want more. No, they're going to
it's
London.
It's going to end up looking like the Major League Baseball or the NBA at the end of the season where, like, nobody's even caring.
But if you have less preseason games, that means we have less of this, though.
Well, joining me now is Patriot head coach Bill Belichick. And, Coach, preseason football is not about winning or losing. But what did you hope to get out of the first half?
We need to do pretty much everything better. Just not good enough in any area.
It's good to see good situational football scoring at the end of the half anyway.
Yeah, about 38 seconds of good football.
Right. You had a lot to get going on. Good luck in the second half, Coach.
Oh, my God.
I mean, two less of those? I know, I need them all.
True. I'm ready. Let's do it.
We need them all.
That's the hardest job in football. That's the hardest job in any broadcast.
Not good enough in any area.
It's good to see good situational football.
And look at this.
It's the worst job in America.
It's 32, not 64 games. It's 64 teams and 32 games. But look at it this way. The local teams right now are the ones that are picking up the revenue in these preseason games. So the networks – part of that TV, that national TV contract, will pick up all of these games as part of it. And you talked about making more money on your TV contracts. That's how you do it.
You had a lot to get going on. Good luck in the second half.
Here's Eddie in Connecticut. Eddie, what do you got, Eddie?
How you doing?
Good.
So I think the 18-game season can actually be used as a bargaining chip for the players, where they can say, hey, we'll do an 18-game season if marijuana is allowed. For example, you know, to get rid of the painkiller issue, and also limit travel to, like, Mexico and stuff. I mean, you're not going to limit the travel to London because that's already set in stone pretty much.
Yeah, so, no, I agree. It is. And Glenn's right. I mean, it's part of negotiating. It's sort of, to me, it's like the pitch clock not being whatever. They're going to use that negotiation to get what the MLB wants.
Take
right?
It away,
the players don't want it. So this is what's going to happen in the NFL. And you're absolutely right. We talked about this before. That the NFL union, they're going to get absolutely smoked financially because they just want marijuana.
Yeah.
And they're going to lose in everything else, like health care for players, retired players.
We can smoke weed.
They're going to give up. They're going to give up a better financial situation, more revenue sharing. They're going to give it up all of it just to get marijuana.
And you know why that's...
We won! Why? Because we can smoke weed. But financially, we got screwed. It's okay.
Here's why that's stupid. Here's why that's stupid, because if you're the National Football League, you're looking at it and saying, all of the states are changing all of the guidelines with marijuana. It's eventually going to become a federal a mandate. So why are we wasting our time even fighting it with the players? You're going to give it away anyway.
No, they're going
to
have to.
But they're going to act like
they want it.
Right. They're going to hold it above the players.
But
I wouldn't focus in, and everybody's doing it, on this 16 game. But you only have to play 16 games. That's a way of placating the players who were sitting there going, you're going to kill my body if I play 18 games. No, you don't understand, son. Yeah. You're only going to play 16. We're going to play as an NFL. We're going to play 18. You're only going to play in 16. That's a bunch of bull.
And the other thing is, there's just so many problems with this. And I guess fine, they'll adjust, they'll adapt, they'll figure it out. Just the mad, because you're not only will you have those two games off, but you're going to have two bye weeks.
Yes, if you're a betting man,
you're going to have 4 weeks off during the season.
And if you're a betting man, do they go to 18 games here in the next collective bargaining agreement?
No, they don't get it done in 2020.
Luke, do they go to 18 games?
So they say they want to get this
more
done.
Games to gamble.
They say they want to get this done before the season starts. Right.
Which
so
season?
This season.
Yeah. No.
They're trying to get it.
They're
no.
not getting that.
Okay, so they're going to go into 2020. The answer is
the
no.
The next collective bargaining.
Oh, no, it'll be the not this one, but the next one.
Yeah, what they want to do is they want to get it done.
They're introducing it now. It ain't going to get done.
No, they want to get it done early so they can include it in the next television negotiation. Mm. That's what they're trying to do. This portion of the program being brought to you by FW Web Company. It means we got the next portion of the program. It's coming up, ironically, next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A show with range.
Gee whiz! I sure hope you hit a home run.
This is awful.
It's amazing you're getting typecast as the...
That's my point.
...show idiot.
I have range.
Back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
And I also like the challenge of coaches having to figure out how to play reserve. I also like how transparent is going to be in this regard. Okay, I got a scrub like Blake Bortles, for example, hypothetically speaking, of course. And then we look at him and we say, okay, he's not starting for anybody. But then he's going up against a moribund franchise, and suddenly he's in the starting lineup for a game or
because,
two.
Because that's the game you think he can win.
That's the game you think you can win. So now we see how the teams feel about competition. Instead of assuming everybody deserves the same level of respect, they're noticing scrubs when you see them.
Forget about all this other stuff. We're wasting our time if we're going to talk about expanding the schedule and what it's going to mean to the safety of players and what it's going to mean for, are they going to be worn out and what is it going to mean for preparation for a team to get them ready for a season with taking away two preseason games. It's irrelevant. The only thing that league is thinking about is the media world is expanding. Amazon Prime is looking. Netflix, they're all looking for programming, okay? They're looking for content. And if we can now give them and open up another package and we can extend the season with 32 more games, that's all that matters. That's all it's about.
Well, you
here.
Should. You
it's
should.
All
yeah,
about
it
money.
Is, and the timing and how they would love to. The reason why they want to push it back 2 weeks. And you had mentioned this.
I'm they want what they want to do ideally because they can again extend the content and the programming. They would like to move the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend. It becomes a holiday. That Monday, everybody is off. So they start the games now at 6 o'clock at night or 6:20 or whatever the kickoff is, Eastern time. What they'd like to do is they'd like to let it go for another hour after that. They get more programming out of it at night. Yep. Plus, people can stay right to the end, and whatever they program after it, you know why? Because you don't have to wake up and go to work the next day.
So think about it. It is so the rosters would get bigger because you would have to make them bigger.
Yep.
So instead of you'd have multiple quarterbacks on your roster because let's say if Brady isn't playing, and then who would be your back? Who would be your starting quarterback right now? Just call it Danny Etling.
Well, they would never.
So if Danny Etling, it would be your starting quarterback. Then you need Jared Stidham to be his back. So you're going to carry four quarterbacks.
They would never do this. It's going to be 18 games. It's not going to be the 16. They're going to give them a little bit more money, and most of the guys in that league, I think, will jump at it because they're all about the now, anyways. And if they can make a little bit more money, then they'll do it. They don't care.
A little bit of money, I can smoke.
So you're gonna have. So forget about the whole 18 regular seasons. You only have to play 16. You just make it 18. You give them two, and you give them two bye weeks. What if you're one of that unlucky team? Because this happens. Because right now it's only one bye week. So teams that end up having their bye week that second week of the season, the first week of the season, sometimes you actually break camp and you have a week off, and then you go 18 straight. I feel like that happened to the Patriots 1 year. Ended up, it was either 16 or 15 games straight. How are you gonna? Can you guarantee that they're gonna be spaced out? I don't know. Somebody always gets screwed when it comes to the bye week.
Yeah, but you can't put it together. And these guys that Stephen A. just talking about, you can't.
Why not?
Do the 16 for 18. You can't do it.
That's not happening.
Because you might actually have your full squad on there, like for three or four games. And then when injuries come into play, now you're really screwed.
That alters the game, guys.
Yeah, from it changes a lot of the whole game.
Changes everything.
Your games are. You're going to have two games during the year that it will look like the AAF.
It's not going to happen
because you can't just. You're just going to have what are you going to do? So you say your starting offensive line. You're going to have three guys sit out the first week, and then two guys sit out the next week.
You think Brady's ever going to play two games
like an
without
AAF?
You think he's going to play two games without
Julian Edelman? Yeah, and then again, you sit there and go, do I want to really play Brady if I can't start my starting right tackle and my starting left tackle?
Exactly.
What about my center?
It's a stupid.
He doesn't know the calls.
Stupid conversation.
And by the way,
you're playing
the Atlanta Falcons, and they're starting. They're starting nose tackle. They're starting. And then you have nothing but backups in that have only seen playing time in what, one game.
They're going to give them 18 games, and the players are going to want weed in return.
That's it.
And they're going to be done.
I tell you what, guys.
They're going to be done.
I did some hard negotiating, and I got you weed. I got it.
Players are stupid, man.
I got weed for everybody.
They are stupid.
The things that are important to them are just make me
because the NFL may look at it and say, yeah, we don't care about the weed. What's the big deal? We just want to extend a new revenue stream out there. I just read that.
You think it'll get done now?
Yeah, because I think the goal. No, I think it's going to get done with the next collective bargaining agreement. I think the league would like to get it done right now because the league is trying to include ABC and that same Disney family with ESPN. They're trying to get some type of package together to include ABC because what they'd like to do is they'd like to have NBC, CBS, Fox, and ABC, the four over-the-air channels, networks. They'd like to have them all involved.
See, I think that's what they want. People are nervous about Europe.
That's NBC.
There's never going to be a team in Europe. There will never be a team stationed full-time, Jackson, London, Monarchs, whatever you want to call them.
Well, maybe 20 years from now, but not now.
I just think it's not going to happen. If you want to make sure every team has to play over there, and then you have some sort of, 8-game season or something like that, that will happen.
Right.
That, to me, is never going to. You're
so
never
you
going
to situation here,
but they're going to play over there because there
sure,
are teams
play once
that
a
can't
week, once a year.
Teams that can't sell out will go and play over there. Like New England will go play over there, but New England won't give up a home game, right?
Red well, Sox, didn't the Red Sox did?
They gave up two home games.
And they just got so each player got paid extra. Now, so
LA,
they don't do that.
Well, the team got paid. They don't do it.
Sports Station.
The team got paid.
They don't do that in the NFL though. You go play in Europe, you don't get extra money.
No,
you don't get. You don't get an extra $30K.
No,
again, another and baseball doing it right.
Hey, that's how we do
baseball
it.
Baseball doing it right.
How to do it. It
was hey, we're gonna force you guys.
And it was such a big hit.
We still got weed too.
Yeah. That's right. They have weed.
No steroids, though. No steroids.
That's you
coming.
Guys do.
That's coming.
Paul's, you guys are allowed to do it. We're not.
Paul's in a car next up. Hey, Paul.
What's going on? Thanks for taking my call,
you
guys.
Got it, buddy.
Fourier, since you played, I got to, because you're talking about this whole bye week situation, and I want to know, as a player, what would you think of this for a schedule? Okay. Three preseason games, because honestly, for the teams, it's more valuable. For evaluating these fringe players, right? So you think the teams like Belichick are going to want that week. Still cut one of them out, right? You move to a 21-week season. Listen to this. Every team gets one bye week in the first half of the season between games 3 through 7. And every team gets an off week at the very middle. So it's kind of like they
All-Star
do with
break.
The All-Star breaks
yeah.
or whatever.
Can't, you can't do that.
Yeah.
I mean, no games? Sunday without football?
No, you can't do that.
Paul, you're making a mistake. You're sitting there worried about what Belichick is going to think or how they're going to put rosters together. The league doesn't give a rat's ass what Belichick's issues are with putting his roster together. The league is trying to sell.
Of course not.
The league is trying to sell network packages to all of these networks for content. It's all about how much product can you give us. They don't care about the safety. They're making it up when they're telling you, oh, you only have to play 16 games. It's a lie. It's a lie. They want 18 games, but you can't have a week off for the entire league.
But, Glenn, listen. Okay, so this is what they're doing as leverage. They're saying, okay, to the players, we're going to give you each two bye weeks and a middle week off. So that we will get the 18-week season, and
again,
we won't have to.
Again, you're making a mistake. You're worried about the players. They treat players like they treat horses at Santa Ana. They don't care. They only are concerned about how much money. So if you have a week off for everybody, what do you do for TV that weekend? What do the networks do?
You hold your horses.
That sounds like a good thing to come up with an idea, doesn't it? I mean, they could do something.
Oh, yeah, let's do a tournament. Yeah.
See, here's the other thing.
Bye week in football, no football this week. People would lose their mind.
Absolutely.
In the middle of it, week 9, you'd be like, what do you mean?
Lou, you're a network, and you're going to sit there, and the NFL's going to say to you, we're going to have you guys take 1 week off, and they're going, wait a minute.
No,
what do I
not.
Program for that 1 week?
No,
what
not.
Are you kidding
Best
me?
Best of.
Best of.
Well, that's the thing.
Do?
It's
what are
going to do? Where's this extra money coming from, right?
Yes.
It's 18 weeks of football.
It's all about money.
So you give them 1 week where there's no football. Now it advertises, what are they paying for? They're like, well, there's no football this week.
Listen, Bill Belichick would be the first one to tell you, anything that is done right now is not done in the best interest of the players or the coaches or the players' safety.
Thanks, Glenn.
It's all about how many more games can we add? How much more content can we sell to the network partners out there, right? That's what it's all about. More inventory for more advertisement. It's all about that. That's why they're going to end up with 18 games, and nobody's going to play 16. You're going to play 18. And maybe they'll throw a bone and say, you can add two more players onto your roster.
And weed.
Yeah, and weed.
And weed.
And you can carry an extra quarterback if you want because of those games. And the quarterback's an emergent. Well, you already have an emergency quarterback, right? We'll give you a second emergency quarterback.
Whatever it takes.
Whatever. All right, 617-779-7937. The boys are back right here on OMF.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Please, please, please do me this favor so I can be better. I can be a better player. I can lead this team to a championship. Please don't call me MVP. Listen. Please, after this day, don't call me MVP, because until I win it again next year. So let's do it one more last time for this year, okay? One more last time, come on.
MVP! MVP! MVP!
This was pretty good. Giannis Antetokounmpo in Milwaukee over the weekend. 25,000 people showed up. And they cheered him on for the MVP. He went on to say that I'm only 60% of the player that I need to be. He went on to say, he asked the crowd, what do I need to improve on? And they started chanting, three-pointers, free throw shots.
Please, please, please.
And I love this. Please don't call me MVP. Yeah. And how many times do we laugh when at every arena in America, your best player goes to the free throw line and people start chanting MVP to them, even though we all know they're not MVPs.
It's like the team MVP.
It's right.
Yeah. But no, he's a different bird, because we were talking before, you know, a lot of these guys in the NBA, they all say the right things early in their careers, you know, and then we'll find out in his final year of his deal, you know, if he starts talking, we'll see where the Bucks go. If he wants out of Milwaukee and he wants to go somewhere else and he wants to build this super team. But I'm not so sure with him, because he's a different bird.
He is different.
You know, he's not an
His
AAU
background is different.
Generation
right.
players, these superstars, their ass kicks their whole life. This is a guy over there in Greece that's like working because his parents didn't have a job. You know, so he's just at a young age. He's a different character. Right?
Yes.
It's a breath of fresh air.
So yeah. he's not affected.
I don't think
right?
so.
Yeah, neither
we'll
do
see,
I.
But I don't think so.
Because wouldn't he be the next big name? Isn't he the next Kevin Durant? Isn't he the next
yes.
Kyrie Irving?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He's the next player supposedly who the Knicks are going to target. The Knicks going to get Giannis next.
Well, the Knicks have already signed everybody to two-year deals to get
yeah.
Giannis.
Yeah, he's in that's what it is. Yeah, he's in that 2021 class, which is the next big class. Next year's class sucks. And I'm sure what Danny's going to do is try to acquire assets to get in a position
Giannis.
Where you can get
sure.
Giannis or somebody sure. in 2021. Good luck. But I agree with Lou. He's much different than the AAU kids. Even though Kevin Durant, when he first came out, everybody loved him. He said all of the
Absolutely.
Right things. LeBron said all of the right things.
He won the MVP also.
Anthony Davis.
And then they all become eventually they all,
They become adults.
Yeah.
And they figured
they
it out.
They go the wrong way, though.
And I'm sick of being used. I'm sick of people taking advantage of me. It's all about me. Right, so that's why Kevin Durant goes to Golden State and doesn't care what anybody thinks.
But I loved it. I was listening to this whole thing, and it goes like 15 minutes long, and it was tremendous. He's sitting there basically telling the public, I'm not good enough. He just won the MVP, and he's telling his crowd, you need to keep pushing me. I'm 60% of what I need to be.
Please don't call me MVP.
And don't call me MVP. I mean, I'm sitting there going, where do you hear this anymore? This is awesome. You need to hear more athletes say stuff like that. Talking about athletes who get coddled, Lou spent a couple of years here arguing with people about Al Horford. I found it particularly funny. When Al Horford finally made his announcement that on Twitter that he was leaving, you had all the Boston people sitting there going, "Oh,
thanks, Al.
Al, we're going to miss you, Al. You were wonderful."
And Anna.
And thank Anna, too. And then you had all the Philadelphia people saying, "Hey, don't worry, Al. We won't call you Average Al down here in Philadelphia."
Yeah, they will.
So, guys.
But he leaves. And there's not a peep in this town. And I watched this press conference he gave in Philadelphia the other day. He was raving about Elton Brand and what a wonderful guy and how wonderful he was and how the Sixers are so great and they're on the cusp of winning it. And what a great roster. And Joel Embiid, I just love the guy. Last year, all I heard from the Celtic fans were...
Gilroy or Corrales?
No, I didn't hear any of it. No, but what he did was... He's the guy that I thought they kept on telling me that he was the defender who could control Joel Embiid.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's leaving
you. Giannis.
I'm talking about the X Factor. Yeah.
To play next door to Joel Embiid.
Arguably
right there.
Your biggest rival in the Eastern Conference.
So he said all.
Emotionally.
So he lied. To me, he lied. He said all of the right things when the microphone's in the cameras. And when Abby Chin is putting the microphone in his face, he says all of the right things. And behind closed doors, he's sitting there going, "I got to get out of here. I'm not playing with these kids. I'm not playing with. Are you kidding me? Philadelphia."
Well, I would say this. He went, okay, he went, he saw that a
well,
team.
Well, he had a lot of help because somebody else was distracting everybody.
Yeah, he saw the direction of a team was better than yours. You know, in the near future, he's got a better chance of winning. They're willing to give him more money. So he left.
Kind of like Johnny Damon.
Sure, which I think is fine.
Okay, but how did that work out with Johnny Damon? How did the public react?
No, it didn't go well for him.
How did he react with Ray Allen when he left and he went to Miami because he thought he had a chance to win a ring? So why is Al void of all that? Why is he getting none of that?
Kyrie Irving was the best thing that ever happened to Al Horford because he was the distraction.
But if there was no Kyrie...
If it was just him, it'd be different.
I don't think it would.
I think it would. Because
they loved Al Horford.
I know, but... So, but now instead of all the focus,
the coaches and fans dream.
But still, he's still one of the biggest free agents you've ever signed that has ever signed with the Celtics.
He is the biggest.
But you also had Kyrie Irving doing everything. So all Al Horford did, this is perfect. Fly right under the radar. Don't say anything. Nobody's even paying attention to him.
No, but see, I just think that he was loved by people here, and he gave credibility to all these bloggers. Well, all of a sudden now, you know, one way to just prove you knew basketball was to be able to appreciate the little things, you know, and it's like,
the Al Horford test.
Yeah, absolutely. The Al Horford test.
So why
all these bloggers are like, oh, you know, these people on the radio, they don't appreciate Al. Listen to me. I appreciate all the little things. They don't understand basketball. So, you know, he became a litmus test of whether you understood basketball or not, right? If you appreciated Al's game, which is fine. I understand it. You know, I think most people did. Nobody was willing to criticize when he didn't give you enough or was passive, and even though he would admit it at times, and Brad Stevens would admit it at times, but they loved him so much that he could do no wrong.
You know, he's one of those guys that looks at the box score.
So when he goes to, again, your biggest rival in the East, now we know Toronto won it last year, we know Milwaukee's very, very good, but emotionally, I mean, would you consider the Sixers your biggest rival?
Yeah.
With the way they've gone at it the last couple of years?
Yeah, but you actually...
And he just went there, and nobody's like, no big deal.
Yeah, but even worse,
I love Al.
You had success against Philadelphia. You played well against
them. Because of him, I was
Because
told.
Of him, yes. I think that is true. I think there's some accuracy to that. So how is it that the people who were writing you for the last couple of years, when you wanted a little bit more from Al Horford, and they kept on calling you and saying, you got no idea what you're talking about, stick to baseball, he does all the little things, how is it that now he gets up and leaves and goes to that team, a team that he was able to contain the best player on that team, and they're sitting here going, yeah, but we're better without him. Excuse me? I thought you told me for the last 2 years that he did all the little things.
I don't think anybody thinks they're better without him.
Well, they're crazy if they do.
No, I don't think anybody does. I don't even think that.
So how do they...
They just like him, so they don't care. You know what? Al gave us everything. He did everything perfect. He was, you know, the first free agent to come here to Boston.
He walked out on you. We don't like that in New England. We do not like it.
They love Al
Horford.
When
a player that we love walks out on us. Here's what I think it is, the biggest part of it in all of this. They want to make one person the villain. And that person is indeed Kyrie Irving. And so they don't want to sit there. And if you suddenly point the finger now and say, wait a minute. Maybe the issue is a lot deeper than just Kyrie Irving. Maybe it's other guys, other veterans who don't want to play with this team, with the kids, with Brad Stevens, and he walks away from you.
But hold on.
Maybe it's – I don't want to do that. I want to blame everything on Kyrie Irving.
But I disagree because –
And I live in that world.
Because what Al Horford found out is that he had a lot of people out there that liked him. He had a bunch of teams out there that were serious about hiring him and using his skill set and his leadership and everything else that came with being Al Horford. But if Al Horford was here alone and he was still, it was still just maybe Isaiah Thomas and the rest of the young kids and Kyrie Irving was not here, and you're telling me Al Horford has 1 year left on his contract, he opts out and signs with Philly? You think there'd be, hey, thank you for the effort?
Yes.
There'd be a tribute video?
Yes.
No, not. I don't think so at all. I think there'd be anger. I think they'd be feel. These fans would feel betrayed.
You think it is?
You only give us 3 years. We sign you, then you leave.
Yeah,
when things get too tough.
I think even if Kyrie worked, you know, it worked last year, and you maybe lost to the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals, who went on to win the whole damn thing, and it worked. And Kyrie signed the long term deal, and you felt good about the future. All of a sudden, Al shocked the world and opted out and left. I still think that these people would love Al Horford and throw him a parade on the way out.
See,
thank you for everything, Al. You're the perfect professional.
His personality,
they wouldn't be upset at him at all.
His personality saved him this year. There were so many. Think about all the things and all the players that were popping off and chirping. It's like a magician. Look at this hand over here. Here comes Al sneaking out the back door. Nobody even notices that he's gone. People are so worried and focused on Kyrie Irving and Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge.
He was an absolute
ghost. They've completely forgot. Yes. Yes, call him Space Ghost.
Ghost when it came to the issues behind the scenes with this basketball team. You would think that a guy like Al Horford would be able to maybe help get the guys together.
Well, I like
whether Kyrie and the young guys, right?
He'd barbecue at my house. Barbecue at my house.
Yeah, he's the coach's dream. You think he would help Brad Stevens get everybody on the same page? He was a ghost.
I like the one.
There's no leadership qualities whatsoever in that man.
Ron, we got some people last week, and I've seen a lot of people on Twitter saying he was a great leader here, and all I can say is he was a horrendous leader. Kyrie was a horrendous leader. But why didn't take some of the mantle, take it over, and help when this team was a split between the veterans and the kids? He did just the opposite. He hid from this stuff. I'm not saying he's not a good guy. I'm not saying he's not a good player, but I don't think he wants to deal with any of this conflict. It's easier for him to get up and go to a place where he feels he can win right now. And I'm telling you, they're going to be really good up front. You look at their front court right now and try to see what they can do against Boston. They're going to destroy Boston up front, right?
Yeah.
You're going to have to rely on a lot of other things to win against Philadelphia if you're the Boston Celtics. Why? Because Al Horford gives them that high and low post now that is going to be very difficult for a team like Boston to win. But he snuck out. You're right, Christian. It was a little magic.
All
and he snuck out the back door. And it's
I see Al?
Right.
Wait, Al's gone?
Yeah.
It's like an Irish exit. You know, you ever have those friends?
Yeah.
You had a party. Yeah, they just, it's like ninja dust. And they just disappear. Like, where'd they go? Like,
where's Ryan?
What happened? Yeah, where'd Ryan go?
And I'm like, yeah, I'm on the
team. You heard from Kyle. You heard from Jaylen Brown. You never heard from him.
Not a word. And I tell you what, credit to him for being the adult in the room, knowing that he wasn't going to allow himself to get thrown into that mix with all those other
dudes.
Yeah,
but he was one of them too.
Yeah, you are.
You're giving him credit.
Yes. No. Well, I'm not giving him credit for being. I'm giving him credit for being smart. It's like a thief is when they break into your house when you're not there with no alarm. Those guys, they try and break in anyway.
Listen, he'll come back here. They'll do the video tribute, and everybody will stand for 3 minutes or whatever, and they'll all be teary-eyed and whatever. And then he and Joel Embiid will
go guys
and kick their ass.
Yeah.
You know, that's
the biggest difference
do
with, obviously, Ray Allen is LeBron. That's it. LeBron,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Miami,
yeah.
East rival,
yeah.
Get it.
And he took less
even
money.
Even though I said Philly's the rival, they don't have LeBron, right? LeBron was the guy. How dare you leave us? We can make one last run of it. Al did look at the situation and said, they're better. They got a better future in the next 2 or 3 years. So I'm going to go there and win. So, I mean, that's and the money. So, I understand why he left.
I don't think the money was that much different. It was a little bit more Philadelphia. Ray took less because, understand the Ray situation.
He took less to join LeBron.
Okay, but Ray
I get that.
No, but Ray was told he's no longer a star.
He was also traded.
Right. So, right. But
and then,
that's right.
Yeah.
So, he was pissed about that. They
tried to trade him, and it fell through.
And then, he was told that he was not going to start. And you know what it's like.
Sure.
You'd rather, if you're going to do that role, you'd rather do it somewhere else than sit here and take a demotion. Okay? You don't want to take that demotion. So, that was part of the whole thing. But I've never seen anything like this where a guy leaves, opts out, goes to your rival, leaves you just naked like this, and nobody is bitching and pissing and moaning about him. And I'll guarantee you when he shows up at the Garden next year, we already know what Kyrie Irving's reaction is going to be. They're going to be booing every time he touches the ball. And as we all know, he touches the ball an awful lot, so that'll be continuous for 2.5 hours. With Al, it'll be a love-in. It'll be a love fest.
Sure will.
They will
but
adore
God damn,
him.
The one thing that I love to do is sit down and watch the Boston Celtics at the end of the day.
and he was another one. I love
it's like
Gilroy.
A nice glass of scotch. I love Gilroy. At the end of a hard day.
I'll give Gilroy credit. I love his passion and whatever. But whatever they do, he just goes along with it. And of course, the Al Horford thing. He was chastising me last week because I was sitting there going, why aren't you guys a little pissed about Al Horford? And of course, you know, it's because we love Al Horford.
That's what I told you. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
I didn't hear him last week, but that's.
You could pretty much tell what he
said.
Yes,
because he gave some of those guys credibility in basketball because they could recognize the game, right?
Right.
They all get the little mob mentality and they're all like, I appreciate Al. You? Oh, really? You know basketball? I know basketball. You appreciate Al? I appreciate Al.
Yeah.
Great. We appreciate Al. We must know basketball. Yeah. But they love him, the ultimate professional. They'll never say anything bad. They're happy for him. Go win, Al, because you're a winning player.
Can I say
but meanwhile,
you
cherry-picked a great team.
Guys like Ordway, and Ordway says the Celtics have no interior defense. They don't get rebounds. They can't block shots. They've got no rim protector.
They need Taco Fall.
Those are all the things that Taco Fall can do.
All I can tell you is,
first of all, Taco Fall's going to be playing up in Portland, Maine for the year, and it's a good place for him. He got worn out the other night. He had 7 minutes of playing time. He was worn out. And maybe a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe you've got an 8-minute player, 10-minute player, whatever. But even you are going to look at this team next year and miss the Al Horford defense.
I already told you.
When
I would.
You see Enes Kanter play defense play defense,
you're going to see it and say, oh my God. I know you're going to miss him.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. Taco Fall. What happens when the guy he's covering takes him out to the top of the key and they put a pick on him? Who does he cover?
Oh, they don't do pick and roll in this NBA, do they?
Switch!
Is
that a problem for Taco Fall?
You know what?
Right now, with limited basketball skill and limited mobility, he can get you rebounds. He can protect the rim.
He can do that. I saw him in the summer league. Watched the game. You know, that one game he had a great game.
Yeah.
Blocked a few shots.
It's summer league.
Yeah, a little alley-oop.
Summer league. The average, around the rim,
he can score. But
what is the average height of those guys? 6'3", 6'4"? Summer league.
Same kids you played a year ago,
right.
A year in college.
You're going to play the big players, the tall guys, coming up real soon. Here's Eddie in a car, wants to talk about the 18-game NFL season. Eddie.
Hello, are you there?
Yes.
Listen, you guys are really missing the whole boat here.
All right, fill us in.
Why don't you just take the 5 skilled players, punter, field goal, quarterback, long snapper, center, those guys, and have them play 18 games? What's the big deal? They don't get hit anyways.
Right.
And then just go back to the 16 games for the other
guys. So what happens when you sit down a guard and your quarterback gets killed?
That's the whole situation. The coach has to be smart. You come up with ideas, you know? I mean, you can't...
Okay.
Yeah, you're going to have to sit down Edelman for 2 games, a guard, a tackle, whatever.
They're not sitting...
But at least the skilled players and Brady will be playing.
Okay.
Well, you just said... who define skilled players. Who did you say? Punter, kicker, quarterback? That's it?
Punter, place kicker, quarterback, long snapper... center.
I hate to say it.
Well, centers don't do anything.
Hold on. I think the punter and the place kicker could play 42 games. I don't think that would be a difficult, would it?
No, 42. I think they're good. 42. Yeah, they can take a day off from their other job.
I don't think that's an issue.
They all have 2 jobs.
They're not going to play.
They're not going to do that.
16 games. It's a game they're playing right now with the Players Association. Because the Players Association is going to scream safety of the players. So they're sitting there going, okay, so we'll put 18 on the schedule, but you only have to play 16. It's a ruse. It's a joke. They'll get to smoke free weed, you know, coming up here in 2021.
Edibles. They get you. We can take edibles.
Exactly. Not in game days.
Oh, my
not
God.
Game days.
I can only it's imagine.
It's a joke.
I tell you what. There was a time back in the old days where you would walk in, and there would be those big, you know, like, you know, mason jars, right? But there would be Vicodin, Indocin, Vioxx. Remember Vioxx?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's like Indocin. You couldn't even take Vioxx anymore. Yeah, it, like, ruined everybody's gut.
Indocin, too.
But instead of that, so they can't do that now. They put those in a separate room, and they locked it, right? So only a doctor could actually physically give it to you with a prescription.
Well, that makes sense.
Now, it's like these rave parties. I can just see guys walking into the training room. You know, hey, let me get some of these. Let me see these edibles, a couple of these. Hey, do we have these in joints now? Hey, can I get this in a pen? I mean, and then I can see them being sponsored. Edibles being sponsored whoever. And hey, I take two of these a day and I sleep great. Hey, do you take Tylenol, Advil? Those are bad for your stomach. Take edibles.
A halftime show.
If you're going to be sponsored by some player.
If you didn't enjoy the first half, couple
I only
of
take
edibles.
Edibles by Glenn Ordway.
They'll ease the pain in the second half. They're only down by 14. Don't worry about it. All right, we're back to the phone. Some people want to talk about Al Horford. We will do it. We got another hour to go here. Another hour to go, and we'll go 30 minutes commercial free.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.